Hello, dear listener at home. This is Joel, the official balladeer of Escape Credit Cards. This is a special multi-episode biography of our founder and CEO, Melissa. Hello, Melissa. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you.
Awesome. So much like Bruce Banner receiving a dose of gamma radiation, the financial knowledge that Melissa has acquired throughout her lifetime was earned. This is the tale of how she received her superpowers. Dear listener at home, in the name of full disclosure, I was lucky enough to marry Melissa's daughter. Much of this tale I have heard bits of, some of it I was there for, but a fair amount of it I will be learning for the first time with you. We will be breaking down her story into 15-minute segments, starting from the very beginning to where we are today. Some of the names may have been changed to protect people's identities. Dear listener, I can promise you this. It is a story of tragedy and triumph. Melissa beat the odds and made something for herself with the deck stacked against her. Here at Escape Credit Cards, our purpose is to give people the necessary knowledge to make something for themselves, even if the deck is stacked against them. Thus, without further ado, we will begin. The start of our story is in Sarasota County, Florida. Gerald Ford is in office. And Libby and Daryl have just given birth to their third child. They named her after an Allman Brothers song. When Melissa was around the age of three, her family moved to rural eastern Tennessee. The first character that we're going to introduce, and I think perhaps one of the most important for this whole story, is going to be Melissa's father, Daryl. Now, Melissa, what was your first memory or your earliest memory of your father?
I have a memory of him sitting in a lawn chair out in the driveway. It's a concrete driveway. We are in Florida. He is enjoying a beverage, beer, and we are playing in the grass.
You played in the grass together.
And the story goes, actually, that I, as a very young child, under the age of three, I keep sneaking sips of his beverage.
Oh, geez.
Because he would put it underneath his seat out of the sun, because the Florida sun's so hot.
Right.
And he wanted to keep it as cold as long as possible. And I mean, it was a nice cold beverage, and I would keep taking little sips of it.
Right. Oh, so when you were very young, your family relocated from Florida to this rural part of eastern Tennessee. And your father, Daryl, he actually, if I'm relaying the story correctly, he actually built the house that you guys lived at. Is that, and you guys lived in a tent?
Well, that is true. We did live in a tent for 6 weeks while he was building his dream, which was to build a log cabin. When my parents, when we first moved to Tennessee, we lived in the Oak Ridge area. I think we rented a home for them to figure out, you know, where do they want to settle and put their roots for their family. And my parents bought a piece of land. It was about 11 acres way out in Roane County, Tennessee, and it was way up in the woods. It was all wooded, and so we had to cut a driveway way up a hill. It, you know, was winding around, and I mean, definitely four-wheeler type material, but we didn't have a four-wheeler. And he got all the materials that you need to build a log cabin. It wasn't a kit, like I don't even know how much a kit has, but we lived in a tent on the property until we actually had a roof over the house. As soon as we had a roof, and I'm talking, we didn't even have doors or windows yet, but as soon as we had a roof, we moved into the house because that was safer and better than living in the tent.
So how old were you when he was building this house?
I think I was around five.
Oh, wow. What did you do? Like when you're living in this tent, right? Like what did you do for fun? Just chase crickets around the woods?
Well, I mean, you just kind of hang out in the woods and you learn how to entertain yourself. I remember taking very cold showers because the water wasn't heated and it was in a 55 barrel drum, and my dad would put it in the back of his pickup truck, and so we would take showers where they would let the water out of this 55 gallon drum for us to be able to take showers, and it was so cold. So that's how, and I mean, you're camping, you're on the property, but you're camping for 6 weeks. My mom
Right.
was a trooper.
Oh, I could only imagine. I think probably your whole family would have to be troopers in order to even to pull something like that off. Now, he came to this area of Eastern Tennessee for a specific reason. Daryl was an electrician by trade. Can you tell us a little bit about where he was working?
Well, when we moved to Tennessee, we moved because he got a job and he was hired, and he started working at K25. At one point, he worked at K25. At one point, he worked at Y12. So I'm not sure which place he worked first, but that's where they made the atomic bomb in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. It has the highest per capita of PhDs in the US.
So I just my wife and I, your daughter, we just got done watching Chernobyl, and I mean that's what kind of man was your father that he would seek out that sort of job? Because we're not talking about running electric lines in a housing construction site, right? I think it takes a special kind of person to work in that sort of high stakes environment. First off, they're not going to hire any old electrician, right? There has to be some level of competency here. We're talking about atomic secrets in the middle of the Cold War. Would you say that he sought out that kind of work was indicative of who he was as a person?
That's a great question. I don't think it was the fact that my dad sought out that particular job or that particular type of job, but working there comes with certain risk, and usually there's a premium in pay that is attached to that risk. And my dad's focus was providing for his family. And he was out of work, and I think he had been out of work for over a year. And so when that job opportunity was presented to him, and how, I'm not sure. It might have been through one of the job networks, through unemployment or something like that, I believe is how it happened. But he was just, it was a good opportunity for him to work and provide for his family and start over, if you will.
Right. Would you consider yourself a daddy's girl or more like a mommy's girl, or who was your favorite parent when you were growing up?
Well, I wouldn't say that I had a favorite parent, and I made that joke about being the youngest only means that I'm the favorite, but my mom went out of her way to not play favorites. And I wouldn't say that I had a favorite parent either. However, my dad was very instrumental in who I am today. He had a lot of impact in my life in the few 24 years that I was able to have him.
Right. So I wanted to fast forward a little bit because your family made another move. So your father built this log cabin for you and for your whole family. What you called it his dream. But then did he follow he moved to Middle Tennessee, right? He moved to Nashville. He uprooted you guys. About how old were you when the move actually happened?
I believe it was the summer when I was 16 years old.
Okay. Wow. So when you were you I mean, we all go through a phase, right, when we're teenagers. Were you a rebellious, did you have a rebellious streak in you? Did you sort of recoil against your parents' wishes in some specific way?
Oh, I know for a fact they did not wish that I would travel the path that I chose.
Oh yeah.
So did I rebel? Yes, I was very rebellious. Yes. As a matter of fact, my mother told me I was ruining my life.
Oh, geez.
And yes, I was ruining my life. And so the day after I turned 17, I wrote a note to my parents and I said, it's my life. And if anybody's going to ruin it, I will. And I understand. I have the consequences of my choices and my actions, but it's my life. And if I want to ruin it, that's my choice. And I left.
Oh, geez. Okay. All right. So help me out with this. You're at this point, you've moved to Nashville, you've moved to a new city. You're 16 years old, like many 16-year-olds. What was your favorite band then when you were 16?
My favorite band?
Yeah.
I don't even know that I had a favorite band because I've never been good at I appreciate music, but I am such an idiot when it comes to identifying a voice or the name of a song or even understanding like the
Melissa,
lyrics.
I'm going to help you out here because I actually think that I know what your favorite band is. ABBA? Or at least at one time.
I grew an appreciation for ABBA later as an adult, but when I was a teenager, I wouldn't say that that was my favorite band.
No.
Actually, when I was younger, of course, I would do things that I wasn't supposed to do, like get in cars with strangers and stuff. I did not tell my parents, and I wasn't allowed to go to a concert because there was a lot of music. It probably didn't have the message that my Christian parents, especially my Christian mother, wanted me to listen to. And I went to a George Thorogood concert without telling my parents.
Oh goodness,
We
George
used to,
Thorogood.
I was with a friend of mine, and her she lived with her grandparents, and they were absolutely clueless. And they took us to the concert, and I never told my parents. I didn't ask them or anything. But it was so much fun, and it was so bad. I mean, it
Right.
was good,
You,
bad,
yeah. Yeah. You know, I wish that I could conjure up in my mind a George Thorogood song right now, but I can't. Do you
Bad
remember
to the bone.
bad to the,
Bad to
okay. There
the
we go. Oh
bone.
goodness. And was that in Nashville?
No, that was in East Tennessee.
Gotcha.
They were playing at some smaller venue, and I can see it where they were on a stage, and we were just standing there in front of the stage. So I don't even remember chairs or anything. It was almost like a gymnasium.
Right. Okay. Wow. So, Melissa, when you made this move to Nashville, to Middle Tennessee, how did it affect sort of your school, your social life? Did you have a best friend back home in East Tennessee?
In East Tennessee, I did have a best friend, and she and I had been best friends since first grade. And we talked and hung out together, and we would spend the night at each other's houses all the time. And after I moved, there was three of us that really hung out together quite a bit when we were much younger. So I did, and then you move away. My parents, made me move, and I was very upset with them. I was very angry. And when I moved to Nashville, I started going to a high school that was larger in population, student population, than the community college where I had been living in East Tennessee. So it was a big shock to me. And another thing that happened during that same year, for the first year that I was going to this new high school, it's called McGavick High School, they had, the school administration, they had shut down two other school buildings and filtered all the students into this new high school. So there were a bunch of students that didn't know a lot of the others. So now they're feeding like three different schools into one school. So I did not really have any friends, and I wasn't very involved or very social. I was still in some of the clubs, and I would go, but I still didn't develop any close friendships in high school.
Well, I would imagine there's quite a bit of difference in culture, right? So, Melissa, I can imagine you chasing around crickets for fun as a small child, and that experience might be quite a bit different than the experience of the kids that probably were born and raised in Nashville. It's funny. It's the country girl transplanted right into to the city. And do you remember who was in office at about this time?
When I was in high school, I believe it was Ronald Reagan.
Reagan, right. Okay. So, goodness, you have the Reagan years here in Nashville, a country transplant thrust into this this city school. I guess I can understand perhaps the feelings of alienation. Do you think that it was anything like that that may have contributed alongside adolescent hormones to you rebelling against your parents?
You know, I'm not really sure that I do want to clarify one thing. I did not chase around crickets, although I did chase lightning bugs. I would chase lightning bugs and I would capture them and I would put them in jars and, you know, enjoy them. What probably contributed the most to my rebellion, it's really strange, but even when I was younger in high school, I always felt like I didn't belong there. I always felt much more mature, and that I preferred to be around more mature people. I didn't like the games and the silliness that people play, and how, you know, some people, they're just mean or they don't reach out to people. And when I move to a new location, I'm not into like shallow relationships or playing some of those games. I've never really understood it. I understand intellectually why people do it. I just don't understand why they can't rise above it. So I didn't enjoy being around, you know, people who were not authentic and they just want to be mean or hateful or spiteful to other people in order to make themselves feel a little bit better or a little bit more confident. And I didn't like it. So, you know, that's why I left. I did not stay in high school. I dropped out. I dropped out and ran away from home.
Oh, wow. What year was it that you dropped out?
I dropped out my 11th grade year.
Mm-hmm. And then
so it was in 1988. I ran away in 88.
Okay. Goodness. So you had to do something to support yourself. Did your family support you financially? I mean, obviously you ran away, so I assume the answer is no, but well, I guess let's start with this. Where did you run away to?
I ran away to the western part of Florida. And my family was all on the east side of Florida. And there's a little place called Treasure Island. It's on the Tampa side. And so I ran away to Treasure Island.
Oh, wow. Why did you pick Treasure Island? I mean, was it just the name alone?
No, I mean, I ran away. I emptied out my savings account because I had a job, and I took the cash and I called a cab, at 5 o'clock in the morning. This was way back before we had a lot of the rules and laws and regulations and security stuff that we have today. But I called a cab and had them come and pick me up. And when the cab comes, I had the garage door open, maybe 3 feet or something. I didn't want to make too much noise. And I ran out with my bag when he got there. And then I don't know if I left it open or if I closed it, but then I gave a fake name. I had him drop me off at the airport. I didn't have a ticket. I went up to the ticket counter and I said, I want to buy a ticket. And I gave a fake name and I paid cash for it. And I jumped on the plane and I went to Florida and he picked me up there and he told me he was the person that I met, and he was much old. He was 22 years older than I was. And I had just turned 17. And he said, I can't take you. You can't go with me in the car because I could get arrested for kidnapping. So you'll have to meet me down there. And I'm not allowed to pay for your ticket because they'll still get me for kidnapping if I pay for your ticket. So he was really brilliant, right?
Whoa, and Melissa. I love it. I love it. So you're 17 years old. You just decided that it's your life to ruin, and you picked up everything that you have, every penny to your name to take a chance on this guy. Can you tell me where you met him?
We worked together.
Oh, you worked together. Inn. Oh, so he worked there. What did he do?
Yeah. He worked in maintenance. I was in housekeeping.
Gotcha. Oh, geez.
I was really good at my job.
You were really good at making making the beds and stuff. You hustled.
No, I didn't work in the beds, and that I don't know why they did that, but they liked me, and so they put me up front so I would clean out the executive offices.
Oh.
And so that was up by the front desk, and then I would keep the bathrooms clean right there by the front lobby. And then I also went around the entire hotel and I would clean out the ashtrays. So I would clean out the little cigarettes from the little sand, and then I would smush the emblem into the sand to make it pretty and inviting to put more cigarette butts in there.
Goodness. So this, as of now, unnamed character, what exactly did you like about him, or what exactly attracted you?
That's a great question. And I don't have a good answer for that. I don't know. 'Cause I look back and I just think about some of the things that I did and decisions that I made. And, you know, I don't know. I think maybe he was nice to me, you know,
right.
I don't know. I can't answer that. I think sometimes, you know, he added a sense of excitement to my life because I was lonely and I was unhappy. And I don't know.
Melissa, I'm going to hit you with something that that I'm not sure that you actually even know, at least that I know. Your daughter, my wife, and I, we found your diaries from you kept a written account of that time. Do you remember us finding those diaries?
Yes, and I do know that Liz found them. She did tell me, because I had it was in a calendar, like a checkbook calendar for your, you know, checks that you write. And so I had that along with other memorabilia from when she was a baby.
Right. And so I remember looking through those and I trying to understand your headspace as a 16 or almost 17 year old. He did seem like he made things exciting, and I can well, and you can hear it almost in the way that you're writing, the tone that you're writing in, that you're a young girl who's an older man is paying attention to you, and he has sort of the ability to do these exciting things that you've wanted to do. And I think it made you feel special. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah, that's probably true.
Now, why did he move from Nashville to Florida?
I don't know. However, he, quote, bought a car right before he moved. And then months later, and it was about 6 months later, I was able to talk him into moving back to Nashville. And that car, he said, was stolen, but it was actually repossessed because he may have purchased the car, but he never paid anything for the car because he went to a tote to the note place. So he may have just moved away because he wanted to steal the car.
Oh wow. Jeez. So and he is so if you were born under Ford, just to give everybody a point of reference, he was probably born under what, Kennedy? Maybe even an earlier
I have
president.
no idea. I
There's a significant age gap there though, more than 10 years.
was 22. He was
22
22 years
years.
older than I was.
22 years older than you were. Okay. And he picked up from
He
Nashville.
was born. He was born 3 years after my mother was born.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you go down, you head down there to Florida to meet up with him. And so the per your purpose is to bring him back to Nashville?
Oh gosh, no. My purpose was just to run away and be down there for a while.
How long did you stay down there in Florida?
6 months.
6 months. Okay. And you were just working at that time?
Well, I got a job and I was able to get a job in a pharmacy. And so if you go into the pharmacy and you go in the back where you get your medicine, like a drugstore where they have like all the stuff, like a CVS or a Walgreens, just something, it was like that. But we traveled for a week and then we settled down in Zephyr Hills, Florida, because his mother lived down there. And so we lived close to his mother. And I started working at a drugstore and I would just ring up people's medications and sell, like I worked in the little, as a cashier, way in the back.
Did he have a job at this point, or was he just kind of like hanging out in the garage, like sipping cold ones?
Now, I think he did get a job, but the more I think about it, I'm not really sure where. Maybe, I think he worked as a mechanic or something. I know he did have a job, he did work, but whenever I got paid, he would make me cash it and give him the money.
Oh wow, so he controlled your finances.
Everything.
Did you ever want to come home, back to Nashville, back to your family?
When I made the decision that I wanted to come home, I was able to convince him. I had to use my brain. I had to, because he didn't want to come back. And I didn't have any money. I couldn't save anything because I had to turn. He would look at my paycheck and then he knew exactly how much it was and I had to cash it and then I had to give him the money. So I had to give him the cash after I cashed it. So I didn't have the ability to do anything and I wasn't gonna beg for money from anybody or from my family or strangers or non-strangers. So I had to use my head and convince him to move back, and I was able to do that.
So it's almost a survival mechanism, right? You did that because you felt like you had no other choice.
Well, because that was my way to get back,
Right, right,
because
right.
I didn't have a car, I didn't have money, he wouldn't allow me to keep it, and so I had to. You know, I just did what I had to do.
Now, Melissa, when you were in Florida, was there a particular reason why you felt the urgent need to come back to Middle Tennessee and back close to your family?
Yes, I had a growing desire to be back home because I actually was pregnant with my daughter at the time. So I ran away from home in February of 1988, right after I turned 17. And April 11th of 1988 is the day that I got pregnant with my daughter. And of course, at the time, I didn't know that it was, you know, going to be a girl or anything. And I wasn't getting any kind of medical care. And I would occasionally call home and I would talk to my mom. While I was gone, while I had run away, my dad and my brother would not talk to me on the phone. They just kind of disowned me temporarily. And maybe they just had nothing to say, or they were so upset. I don't know, but they just would not talk to me. And my mom was encouraging me to come back home, and she knew that I wasn't getting medical care. She knew that I was pregnant, and I think it was really bothering her a lot. She was very concerned. She would pray a lot for me. And so that was part of the reason why I was able to convince him to go back to Nashville. And so we moved back in August of 88, and my daughter was born in January.
Now, with that, dear listener, I'm afraid we are almost out of time. And I must say that this next character that we are introducing is my personal favorite. So I hope you come back and listen to our next episode and hear how this story pans out. I don't think you will be disappointed. On behalf of Escape Credit Cards, thanks for spending a little bit of time with us.